getting settled into a new home today down at the fire department headquarters.
Well, we actually opened it up Friday night and kind of been manning it part-time. We spent a lot of time yesterday there and headed down to get back going again today.
Well, there was a lot of information shared yesterday at the media conference that you had there at the fire department headquarters, and we have I understand we have another one that is scheduled for tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. But there was some information that was passed along, and we wanted to share that with our listeners today, and who better than to give us the information than our favorite emergency guy. You know, no offense, Chris Trudeau. Don't hold that against me, but you know, Pat and I go back a ways. But there's a release from the water of water from the tubes scheduled for, is it this morning?
It is. In fact, the people around the dam area should hear the siren that goes off about 7 o'clock, and they'll continue bumping that up till probably 2 o'clock. So every 30, 40 minutes, there'll probably be a siren that goes off, so they can bump that up a little bit to get that up to that level.
So the initial release will be how strong?
They'll bump that up to 15,000, and I'm guessing they'll probably go up 1,000 or 2,000 a time.
Okay. What is the inflow right now? I think that's one of the things that that the Corps is attempting to do, is to try to at least keep on par, if not ahead, of the inflow of water into the reservoir.
Well, the problem with trying to collect that info right now is that several of the gauges upstream are inundated by the lake. Lake's back to the level of the, so they don't get a good inflow. So they're right now they're adjusting the inflow, as the way I understand it. I'm no expert at it, but the way I understand it is they're calculating that by the rate of increase or rate of elevation change by the lake. It's the way they calculate their inflow.
It's becoming a fascinating science for those of us that are kind of innocent bystanders as to how much the rain that is coming in and the inflow and the holding of the water. Now nearing critical stage, do you know what the current capacity remaining with the reservoir is?
It was about 8% of the flood pool still available, and then of course there's surcharge, but we don't want to see surcharge.
And what advice do you have? I know one of the things that you had said yesterday is don't have your blinders on if you are in a flood-prone area, because this is a serious situation.
Well, and I know that a lot of people say, hey, this looks like it's imminent. In fact, we had somebody texting people or messaging people, and one of the car dealerships along 24 moved a lot of their cars yesterday based on that kind of information. But I would say to tune in, make sure you have a way to be notified. Make sure you have multiple ways to be notified if something happens. And then, of course, prepare for this. Get your stuff out. Find a place to relocate it. Have somebody that can help you move it if you desire to wait until the last minute. But we're not suggesting that. But you know, talk to people, help your friends, see if they've got a way to get their goods out if we go to that next step where we have to evacuate people.
Well, one of the best things that we can say today is that we don't have any rain in the forecast for at least 48 hours, and we certainly hope that's true, and hopefully that's actually extended beyond the next 48 hours, because we can certainly use some sunshine and some dry weather for a while.
Well, and the key is that if they can manage the lake, which is what their plan is, and they said for all along, is they can manage the lake in this phase three area with the outlet works. That keeps everything in the channel and doesn't adversely affect too many people here. Now, adding more water to Kansas City or Missouri, that might be detrimental to them just a little more, but it sure helps our population.
especially the storms up around Lawrence and on the west side of Kansas City yesterday. Some amazing images of tornadoes in that area. We had tornado warnings for western and central Riley County last night. Do you have any early indications of any damage, any touchdowns in the Flint Hills region?
Now we had a couple spotters up in that area. They saw some wall clouds. We didn't have a lot of rotation. There was some minor rotation, and didn't get any reports of funnels or tornadoes in that area.
Now the city has put together a website and for more information. And what are some things that you can encourage residents this morning, Pat Collins, to do to help keep them informed of what steps they may need to take, and for those that just want the information?
Well, I think part of the information on there is to make sure you have a go kit, and it outlines the go kit. It outlines some of the locations that somebody might be able to relocate vehicles. It outlines where you can get a few sandbags to put around your walk-in doors and window wells and things like that. There's links to other places like FEMA, Red Cross, those type of places. So, which all have really good information on it.
Anything else that you'd like to pass along to residents this morning, Pat Collins?
Well, I think you're going to see people around. We're trying to collect some data to find out, of course, how many pets we may have, how many people have already made arrangements to go to friends or neighbors, and how many special needs people we have out there, so we can, if we do go into an evacuation, we have shelters, we can better serve the people. So you may see fire personnel going around the day, or code services people, or risk reduction people is what I call them, and just trying to gather some information so we can better serve the public.
Well, they came to my house yesterday, Pat.
Okay.
Nice young fireman from the city of Manhattan, and he asked those particular questions. Left me a nice little pretty business card with the MHK flood information on here, and we'll exchange some of those details. But the questions that they asked was who all lived there. How many adults, how many children, you know, were there pets? Do you have a place to go if you need to, et cetera? Because, and Pat, one of the things that if there is an evacuation ordered, we don't know necessarily what time frame that could be issued, let alone how much time after that evacuation order is placed that people have in order to leave their homes or their property, let alone all the other things that they want to take along with them.
Right, and it all kind of depends on what kind of a release there may be. You know, if you look at like today, we're going from 200 to 15,000, and it takes from 7 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon to get to that. In 93, we went from, I believe it was around 20,000 to 40,000, then to 60,000, and it took 5 days.
Well, I think we just can do more than to encourage residents to be informed and be advised that if they have not yet taken any action to protect themselves or their property, that now's the time to do so, because the releases of the water and at least now with the release of the water coming from the tubes, it looks as if, though, that water will be able to maintain or at least stay within the banks of the Blue River into the Kansas.
Oh, I believe so, especially with the Kansas down. The Kansas was around the 17 yesterday. So, we don't expect to see anything with 15,000. And some of our models actually show that with the Kansas down to that range, we could get up to about 30,000 before we see anything in even anybody's backyard.
All right. Well, we know you have an awful lot to do, but we certainly appreciate, and I know our listeners appreciate you coming on the air this morning and visiting with us. Any other final comments, Pat, before we move on?
Nope. I appreciate everything you guys do.
Well, we appreciate you taking the initiative and reaching out to us here this morning. And you've got an open door to come on and come on the air and visit with us on any pending situation. Pat, blessings to you. Good day today, okay?
Good day.
Pat Collins, Riley County Emergency Operations Director, and they have moved their operations center into the fire station headquarters there in that meeting room, which, you know, some of us were wondering the press conference that was held yesterday, Nick McNamara, was initially to be held outside, and then they moved it into one of the truck bays, and I was wondering why they didn't have it in the meeting room, and that's why, because it's occupied right now and will be for some time. And this is one of the things that Brian McNulty said of the Corps of Engineers. He's the project manager here for Tuttle Creek. He said, we're in this for the long haul. There's a lot of work to be done over the next several days, maybe even weeks, because it will take a long time to draw that water down. And a lot of closings. Obviously, the park is closed. The roadways around there are closed. So there's a lot of information there that we want to make sure that our residents and listeners are well aware of, because it is, you know, we have not, I don't think, reached crisis mode. We are definitely in inconvenienced mode with crisis mode, you know, possible. The city of Manhattan, by the way, has established a phone number for flood updates and concerns, and that number is 785-587-2489. For Riley County, 785-565-6200. And for Pottawatomie County, 785-457-3455. Those are the numbers that was on my handy little card when the Manhattan fireman came by yesterday afternoon, kind of interrupted my nap, but, you know, it's kind of important.